Since Christmas, we've been reading through the gospel written by Mark. But as we heard last Sunday, it ended abruptly with the empty tomb. Another gospel writer, however, named Luke, wrote a sequel to his gospel. That book we call the Acts of the Apostles. That is, the book of Acts, or simply Acts. It appears in our Bibles after the four Gospels. In the opening line of Acts, Luke addresses his reader, someone he calls Theophilus. Theophilus, translated, means lover of God. Whether this is an historical person or anyone who loves God is unclear. So listen now to God's word as it comes to us in the first 11 verses of Acts as Luke picks up his post-Easter story of Jesus. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, please. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. An 8-year-old boy named Samuel is traveling with his newly widowed mother to go visit relatives. The pair wait patiently for their next train amid the hustle and bustle of Philadelphia's 30th Street train station. Samuel ventures into the men's room alone. From inside his stall with the door barely ajar, he sees three men enter the otherwise empty room. While one man washes his face at the sink, another grabs him from behind, and the third slits his throat. Samuel gasps. Hearing the noise, the murderer pulls out a gun and one by one throws open the stall doors. Samuel manages to lock his door. When the murderer comes to his stall, the door rattles and shakes as the man tugs and shoves at the door, And just as the murderer kicks the door in, Samuel escapes under the partition to the adjacent stall. From this point on, in the 1985 movie titled Witness, Samuel's life is in danger as he is a material witness to a homicide. You will be my witnesses, Jesus tells his disciples. He's with them at their old haunt on the Mount of Olives. It's been 40 days since the terrified women had discovered the empty tomb and breathlessly told their idle tale, as the other disciples had called it. But during these 40 days, the male disciples had had their own firsthand experiences and were no longer discounting the women's testimony. They had seen and heard for themselves the resurrected Jesus walking, talking, eating, teaching. Weird, mysterious glimpses of something beyond their imagining. Experiences that were counter to any logic they knew, yet which strangely warmed their hearts and vindicated their despair. But Jesus must go now. Here on the high point overlooking the city of Jerusalem, under the shade of those ancient olive trees, he now prepares his friends for his final departure, which is imminent. You will be my witnesses, he tells them. A witness is someone who has seen or heard something. A witness knows something and is called to give a statement. It's not a job you volunteer for. As in little Samuel's case, being a witness can be dangerous. It has potential to cost you dearly, perhaps even your life. You will be my witnesses. I'm not sure that those were words the disciples wanted to hear. When he's gone for good and not popping in anymore, they thought, when these 40 days fade like a dream, will we really claim this rabbi who was deader than a doornail came back to life? And if we do, surely we'll be ridiculed. Might we even wind up like him, persecuted and nailed to a Roman cross as an insurrectionist? The word witness in the Greek is martyrios, witnesses, that is, martyrs. The years before Constantine are referred to as the age of the martyrs. Even today, there are places where Christians face terrible hardships and sometimes even death on account of their faith. The boy Samuel and his mother, Rachel, are Amish. Wearing his broad-brimmed hat, a dark little homemade suit with short pants and lace-up boots, the boy is questioned by a cop named John Book, who is played by Harrison Ford. After it becomes clear that they all are in danger, Book returns Samuel and Rachel to their farming community in the beautiful Pennsylvania countryside. For several weeks, Book hides out there to avoid the bad guys who are seeking to kill him and his witness. He must blend into the community so as not to attract notice. The Amish way of life is quite alien to the cop. They dress differently, with dark, old-fashioned clothes. They speak differently, a lot of it in German. They live differently, simply, even primitively, without electricity or gasoline-powered motors or modern medicine. They help one another. The whole community pitches in for a barn raising. And perhaps most striking of all to this inner city cop whose world is permeated with violence, the Amish are pacifists. In one scene, Book has ridden into town in a horse and buggy with some of the other men. Tourists gape like they are freaks. One teenage boy taunts one of the Amish men, daubing his face with an ice cream cone melting and daring him to fight. Book witnesses the man's remarkable restraint. Of course, being Harrison Ford, you know he can't sit by and watch this humiliation but for so long. So he beats up the teenager, an act which gives away his identity and leads to the movie's climax. But the lifestyle and actions of the Amish give this movie's title, Witness, another dimension. Their lifestyle and their actions, you see, bear witness to their deep Christian faith. They have heard Jesus say, turn the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7, love your enemies. They know an alternative way to live. Their lives are a testimony. You will be my witnesses, Jesus told his little band of followers. And they were. After his ascension, Christian communities spread throughout the Roman Empire, sprouting up like dandelions. They attracted followers because their way of life was different. A terrible plague devastated Western civilization in the 3rd century. At its peak, 5,000 a day were said to die in Rome. While everyone else emphasized self-preservation, even throwing sick family members into the road before they were dead, Christians emphasized fearless altruism. The Bishop of Alexandria wrote this about his flock, quote, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life serenely happy, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. End quote. The pagans who observed this compassionate Christian response to the sick and suffering were impressed. Thank goodness we have better science nowadays, though. But as a refrain from an old camp song goes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. In the final scene of the movie, the bad guys, who turn out to be the corrupt chief of police and his 2 henchmen, arrive at the Amish farm where Book has been living incognito. The climactic confrontation is between Book and the police chief, each wielding a gun. When he fears he is about to be bested, the crazed police chief takes Rachel hostage and points his pistol at her head. Book drops his shotgun, raises his arms, and talks down his boss from the crime he is poised to commit. Meanwhile, little Samuel runs and rings the bell, sounding an alarm to the entire community. The Amish farmers appear from all directions. They have no weapons. They simply come and stand. They surround book, and Rachel, and the chief, and watch in silence. The chief looks around and realizes that there are too many witnesses for him to get away with murder or false arrest. He drops his gun and collapses in defeat. "You will be my witnesses," Jesus said to his followers. Did you notice that he didn't tell them individually? He told them when they had come together, as it says in verse 6. There's something important about being together and being community. It's not accidental that the Amish live in a tight-knit society, for it is in community that faith is lived out and becomes a witness to the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached. That's why this social distancing is so hard for us as a church. We miss being in community. But thank goodness for cyber technology, or else we would really feel separated. Along with his declaration that his disciples will be his witnesses, Jesus made a promise. And this promise is really the key to it all. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Those are plural yous. In the next chapter of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together, the text notes, the Holy Spirit did come. It came upon the group, and as we say, on that day, the church was born. And since then, the church has been empowered to be a witness. The Spirit has given the church courage to proclaim the gospel, braving ridicule and danger, going against the cultural grain, and standing in solidarity as a moral compass when our leaders go astray. Church, you are Jesus' witnesses, and the Holy Spirit working in and among you will be the wind in your sails. So go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.